Amen. Thanks, guys. For all those who desire to speak, it's always a challenge and an encouragement, I guess, when that word is brought as someone comes to bring the word. And how you find that, Jill, when you get up there and that prayer's prayed, it's a heavy thing and not one we take lightly. So let's turn to God's word this morning in Colossians 3, verse 22. It'll be up in the overhead, or if you have some Bibles with you, Colossians 3, 22. And I want to read to the start of chapter 4. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who has done wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, as we turn to your word, may it be light and life for us, and may we understand what you are saying to us anew this morning. May we also understand what you are saying to us old, as it were. But Father, as we look this morning, may there be something new that you would speak to us about. Maybe we understand what this relationship should be like, and we've thought that we know how it is that we should be in our work lives, in our study lives, in our lives outside of what we may do in our Christian lives, in a sense. Father, we've made distinctions and divisions that shouldn't be there. So, Father, speak to us anew from your word this morning, we pray. Thank you, Lord. So, three itty words in there. I say itty in the sense of the way they're spelt there. Three words: sincerity. Second word is heartily. And the third one is no partiality. Now, it's possible to say these words with the meaning that was intended and the way they're intended. And so, for sincerity, if you want to say the word sincerity, it's like sincerity. There's a way we say that indicates how we feel. I'm saying that with sincerity. Heartily, on the other hand, is a much bigger thing. Heartily. And no partiality is no partiality. And I want to say these three things with reference to two things. So firstly, for sincerity, I want to talk about two types of service. For heartily, I want to talk about two masters or two people that we serve. And lastly, I want to talk about two perspectives. Now, what if some of you guys wouldn't mind bringing the table over here? Thanks. I haven't arranged this beforehand. Oh, Nick, you probably don't want to. Johnny, you might have to with your... good on you. Wonderful. You right there, Heine?
Yes.
Good on you. Wonderful. So we've got a table over here that I want to express what this might actually mean. Oh, thanks, Ian. That might be great. Lovely, because it's a bit of a heavy table. And here it comes. Good on you. That's great. So while the table's coming over here, when I mention these three things here, this is in essence a summary of how it is that we might be in our work life, our relationship between masters and servants. Well, look at this wonderful service, speaking of that. Lovely. That's great. Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
That is superb. That is superb. Lovely. I'll just push this over more towards the centre. Because sometimes when we read these words, we don't fully understand what was meant by them. Now, the word that's first used, sincerity, and I say that, sincerity. This is the first way we are to approach the life that we have, not necessarily outside of church, but the life we have where we are working for someone else, or we are studying for someone else, or someone else is directing what it is that we do. Now, often we spoke last night in youth group about the sacred-secular divide. Now, in summary, what that is we say certain parts of our life are for God and are serving him, and other parts of our life are whatever we want to do. Now, I give the example of Sunday afternoon. Now, I'm speaking to myself as a pastor. We had youth group last night and events in the afternoon, church-related, as it were, and the service this morning and another service this evening. So I would probably justify myself in one sense of saying, I'm going to have the afternoon off. I'm going to maybe, it was a very late night last night, maybe have a sleep or something. And I sort of differentiate and say, that's sort of my secular time or my non-church time. And so I might zone out for a few hours. Now, while there's nothing wrong with that in a sense, is that in the West, we've become easily tuned in the habit of saying, this is God time, this is not God time, this is church time, this is my Christian life, and this is my, not so much my non-Christian life, but this is my less or my secular life. As I said last night, the Bible makes no distinction between sacred and secular. It makes a distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness. Because even in those times that we might think we're living our secular work lives, God is there and is watching. The Bible doesn't understand or make a distinction between this. And so in the way that we approach our work lives or our study lives or our lives where the sense is where someone else is directing what we do, and you apply that in your situation, is three ways: sincerely, heartily, and with no partiality. So firstly, I mentioned sincerity. Now, sincerity has two things here that we're talking about, two ways in which we serve. And the word sincerity here is actually a translation, and maybe not the best one, but most Bibles translate it this way, for the word singularity or simplicity. Because if someone is sincere, they are simple and they are approaching something with unalloyed or alloyed, in other words, a simple one-step direction. They are sincere about this. There is not hidden agendas or other things going on. The actual word means the word unfolded. Now, how do you get folded or unfolded out of this word sincerity? Now, if we think of this this towel here, you can see at the moment it's folded. It has many layers. And we might think on here, at this stage, it is a white towel. Now, when you work, you may think that what you do is very simple and it's something that you're doing that someone can see that you have a sincere desire to do whatever it is that you do. But as the towel begins to unfold, other things become clear. There's a bit of red mixed in. Maybe there's a bit of blue, whatever that might mean. And as we keep on unfolding, we discover another thing emerges that something else may be going on beneath the folds. So to unfold something is to say that actually the saying here isn't particularly important, but the understanding is that when we unfold, we discover things that we may not thought or may not have thought is there. Another illustration for the word unfolded is to consider if we look at a bit of plywood here. Now, it may be that we think to our boss or those who are directing what we do, this is what they see and this is what we are, a solid worker, a solid person who is working and doing what it is they're directed to do. Now, at this level, that's certainly true, and maybe if we don't scratch the surface too far, that's as far as it goes. But if we look at it end on, we see that there's a lot of layers going on here, not necessarily what was first thought or first seen. And here's the thing. We've found that with the advent of social media and accessibility of the net, that it's actually very easy to go to work but not really be at work. Now, I've had to apply this in my own life because the justification goes on something like this. Well, we had a few late nights or early mornings, or whatever, not so much early mornings, but things that were going on, and I need to look at this thing on Trade Me. I need to contact my mates, and there's a bit of a social thing going on at work that isn't exactly work that I want to be involved in. So while in one sense the boss thinks that, or may think that this is going on, all these other layers are happening concurrently. I'm not fully focused on what he thinks is happening or what we might think he thinks is happening or she might think is happening, because these other layers are causing us some confusion. Now, here's the trick. I think we think we're better off for that, because during the day, not only have we sort of done our jobs, but we've managed to buy or sell a particular thing. We've managed to contact people and do things other than what we were paid or employed or directed to do. This word sincerity is the way in which we should be approaching it. And I would encourage you, if you are inclined to dabble and do other things there, to try it. Now, as I said, I've often found myself a self-directed position often through the day, and I could easily justify, and in my mind anyway, it's very easy to self-justify anything, isn't it? That I've got something coming up, so I'm just going to spend a bit of time doing this or doing that. What I find is it's a lose-lose situation. It's a lose situation for the employer or the person directing it. And it's also arguably a bigger loss for me. Because what happens is that I don't actually get the things done that I need to do. And I think that I'm fooling myself or someone else. But I may just be fooling myself, because in the process of not approaching something sincerely or simply or singly with no folds, I end up missing out on the very thing that I'm there to do. The employer misses out, et cetera, et cetera. So when understanding this word sincerity and the way it should be, it says here we're talking about two types of service. And if we read a passage of the Bible, the meaning that often comes out of it folds from one end to the other. So the start of the service talks, at the start of this passage talks about two types of service. If we could perhaps bring verse 22 up, thanks, Andy. It talks about bond service and eye service. So the bond service is the job that we are as a whole person. When in sense in bondage, we are directed to do something as a whole person. But the temptation is not to be sincere, and only what can be seen, at least at a simple level, is what we are to do. And Paul says here, it's not to be done just with eye service. Now, the reason it's an old term and not one we use, but the reason it's important to understand eye service as this sort of comes full circle in the message today, is it something that we all unconsciously or subconsciously do regularly? We say it's only when someone's watching is it important to do what we're doing. Oh, look, what perfect timing. Thank you very much, Heine. And here's the third illustration. The other word for singularity is that considering a single thread. Now, we might argue that actually it's better to have a number of things going on, so if a single thread breaks, it doesn't work. And yet the boss has decided that you are the important person in this job. Now, here's a little challenge. We had a youth event last night, and it was organised very well and organised by a large amount of what we call delegation. Now, I'm probably a little bit too quick to do this, and I guess I've modelled that maybe not in the best way, but what it means is that we would argue that delegating is the best thing because it gets it done. We're not all dependent on one person. I have nothing against delegating necessarily, but understanding that probably the boss chose you to do that, and you are the thread. You are the appointed person to do that particular thing. Now, in a sense, it seems strange to think, well, is it right that it's so dependent, or this particular task is so dependent upon me, that if it breaks, the task doesn't get done? And this would go against every management principle that we've learned over the last 50 or so years. I just want to argue that while that's not necessarily the case, there is something about understanding the very thing that you, and I say you, and applying it to you and I, the very thing that we, I'll use the individual word, the very thing that I am called to do individually is so important, and God has made me that way, that if that snaps, not that it will fall apart, but it just won't get done necessarily until I step up again. So this word sincerity has a number of meanings, this singularity, this simplicity, this unallayed one-level thing. Because if we have a look here with a piece of wood that's here, we see if we break it inside, there's solid wood all the way through. Not that our bosses need to break us or those that direct us need to break us, but it would be good to know if they dug a bit deeper, they are seeing the same solid response in what we do all the way through. So the first thing, God is asking us to consider our lives in service to others, not as what is seen, but also what is unseen, the depth and simplicity, that we may approach it. Now, I promise you, if you were to try this, now, often I run or test run services or sermons for the week before, and it's quite tempting sometimes when I'm sitting here and there's no one particularly has arrived, although more and more people may be arriving on certain times, but I'm thinking there's something I'm looking at in Trade Me, for example, and I used to flick and look at that and didn't think about it. I found it much more satisfying and beneficial to me as well as my employer, who is all of you, to actually be focused on the things that I'm employed to do. It feels so much better. So could I suggest that if it's not feeling like that for you at work, and it hasn't always felt like that for me, consider what it is to be singular in purpose, sincere and simple. As I say that word, sincerely. Simple. Wonderful. Thanks, Heine. Wonderful summary. Sincere and simple. The second one I want to look at here is this word heartily. So we say something heartily. Now, what does that mean? So I've got here in my hand, this is a little chip out of a computer. And the chip is the thing that's at the center part of most devices that we use now. It's much bigger than the one we'd have in a phone, for example. This little chip in here is something that actually is at the heart, we would say, of most devices that we use. I think that desk now, Andy, probably there'd be something in that. That's a digital desk. It used to be analog, but in the heart of it, it would have something that understands and translates what's going on. The word heartily that's used here, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. There's a couple of translations that can be used for the word heart we read in the Bible. One is the word cardio, which we understand is the cardiac situation. But the word in this instance here translated as psyches. It's the very essence of the way in which our mind is interacting with our body to get things done. So the sense and meaning here of heartily is it sense there is something in us that is interacting with our body and our mind and our will and our emotions to achieve some purpose. So when we read heartily here, whatever you do, do it heartily. It's the very essence of us, the very center, the thing that makes us tick, whatever you want to do or choose to use. Now, while it might be a slight digression, understanding the heart of the person was something that maybe the Greeks and the early Hebrews may have had a different handle on and an understanding that we don't with modern medicine. The internet is rife with examples of where a heart transplant has resulted in a personality transplant. Someone who didn't like something before after a heart transplant finds themselves really into something or has skills and abilities. So there's more going on in the heart than we might care to believe. Some would say it's just an organ that pumps, and yes, it does that, but there may be more to it. But the heart may be the best way of illustrating and understanding that sense of, yes, the very lifeblood and the things in the center of us, but also what responds from there, the personality, the mind, the will, the emotions, the things that are going on for us. This thing at the center, represented very badly by this chip in one sense, but this is the way in which we're to do it. Let's do a little honesty test here. How many can say over the last, which we look good, we're now April, aren't we? So the last few months at the start of the year, how many days have we had at work or at study where we've actually said, that was a day in which my full mind, will, emotions, heart, spirit, I was heartily engaged in my job? Now, when asked that question, I know it sounds bad because, none of us are in that situation. I don't mean that at all. And please, there's no right or wrong answers here. If we can say, I'm not going to get us to raise our hands, but think about that. How many days have we had, or hopefully weeks perhaps, have we had where we can say, I heartily, fully engaged in the task that was set before me? Now, let's, rather than calling out a number, except think about that. And think about this admonition here that we're doing it as to the Lord and not to men. What is the expression? We may fool some of the people some of the time, and but not all of the people all of the time. So we're not fooling our bosses all of the time, but we are not fooling the Lord any of the time. I'll say that again. We are not fooling the Lord any of the time. And Paul is clear here. And whatever you do it heartily. As to the Lord, it doesn't say as well as men, as to the Lord and not to men. So how could we begin to think and engage with what it is that we're called to do? Here's a marriage illustration. You might think, what's that got to do with a job? Let's consider this. I remember hearing a pastor once talking about if we are in a situation married to someone where there's a relationship, where there is a sense of mutual submission, but one has the, the casting vote, the advice that this person gave was, don't marry someone. If you don't want to be submissive to, don't pick that person. Look at someone who you love and respect and you would want to be mutually submissive to because you've taken the time to select that. The reason I say that is that some of our jobs may be the wrong ones that we have selected. We have tried doing this. We have tried being sincere. We cannot focus on our job for the whole day. Other things take our distraction. We have tried and tried. Much as we're in there, we cannot do it heartily. We're going to look at partiality shortly. It just may be that you're in the wrong job. I want to say I at the moment, I don't believe that, but if you're in that situation where you say, I can't do this with sincerity, I can't do this heartily, I have tried to do this and I've considered from the start of the year to now, just maybe the job and you are not in the right place or the position of study or whatever it is that you're directed to do. So there's a check and balance on this, if you like. It's one thing to say that we have to obey or submit or be heartily involved in that. But if this is something that we find that we cannot do, then there's something else for us that God has where we can be working with sincerity and heartily as to the Lord. So there's a proviso there that we need to consider. I'm saying out of this that there's a number that need to change their jobs, not at all. But consider the situation we're in, because this is something that God requires of us. It's not done for man. Back in the day, we used to receive a printed pay slip, and it would show you the hours that were done and the various benefits or otherwise that used to work in a nursery, and there was wet weather allowance and gumboot allowance, and incredible, the union thing for nurseries, almost more allowances there than the pay. But nonetheless, at the top of it, we used to work for Millichamp's Nurseries, had Millichamp and Sons, and then it listed why I was getting what I was getting. Now, this was an old school place. So what you actually did, you got your pay slip at morning tea, and then you have a big discussion at morning tea about, is that what I should be getting? And then you literally trot to the office at 5 to 12, and you'd get paid out in cash. I kid you not, so the 20s and the 10s and whatever were, and even the coins were all counted out, so you got your exact dollars. And you had a couple of hours to work out whether you were getting the right pay. So not much work happened every fortnight on Thursday between 10 and 12, as you can imagine, as the pay slip was discussed and dissected and analysed as to, am I getting what I'm worth? Now, obviously, not much work was going on during that time, but it was that sort of process. But the reason I mention it is at the time we had someone speak about this particular topic, and he said, who is the name at the top of your pay slip? And on ours, it was J. Millichamp and Sons. And for you, it'll be whoever it is that you're working for or studying for, or again, a broader understanding of this passage, who directs what you do with your time? How would it be if that name was scrubbed out and God was at the top of that? So God has indicated that this is your pay slip, but you are working as to the Lord and not to men. So think about that aspect of sincerity and heartily. And the last one here is where this concept of looking at things as opposed to doing them with depth and with sincerity is this one here. Now, this is a very bad sort of approach here. I'll just put these on. Now, do you love this? Now, this is my blinkered glasses. There used to be some that you could find like this. And I deliberately did it for your pleasure and enjoyment. But this is an example of me working with partiality. If we could bring the next verse up, thanks, Andy. It says, now he who does wrong will be repaid, and there is no partiality. There is a sense in working for this, the word partiality means blinkered eyes. And what I'm doing is I might say there's two people doing the same job, and I like the look. It's actually a lot in this word. I like the look of this particular person. They may do no better or no worse a job than the person beside them, but because my eye is attracted to their abilities, not necessarily what they get done, then there's a danger that I might reward that person better or promote that person better or recompense them more. So this position or the situation we have where we are told there is to be no partiality. So these eye blinkers that are looking at someone and saying, so looking at you this morning, now which is the most attractive side of the congregation here? There's merits on both sides here. It's very hard to say, but I might find my eye drawn in a particular direction. Hello, dear. And I may be biased and I may show partiality. Particularly awkward, I might say half seriously, when one's wife is working at the church. Now, Sandra's not paid, but she's down here, and I might decide that there is a little bit of partiality that can be shown. And yet other people serve many hours here in an unpaid capacity. So it's very important that this verse here is indicating that we must take them off, not leave the glasses off without the blinkers, but take them off completely and see the merits of what someone is doing with no partiality. So this understanding of the way that our eye gets us in trouble. It gets us in trouble because we think that our eyes, we can fool our boss so we can fool their eyes at the start of the passage when I'm talking about sincerity. And at the end of it, we're talking about our eyes. In other words, there is to be no blinkered eyes in the way that we look at it. Each person is paid. You can blink your eye. Awesome. Each person is paid and recompensed there. Now, the reason it's important to mention this in the context of the next verse, Alexander, it says here in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair." And that same concept carries over the end of the chapter in the way that we do it with no partiality. So the way we are to approach what it is that we do when someone directs our time is to understand, firstly, it's to be done with sincerity, it's to be done heartily, and it's to be done with no partiality. And understanding and applying those three things, and the overarching understanding is that we are working for God and not for men. Now, that's a big responsibility, and it's I didn't think appropriate to finish the service or finish what I'm saying and leave it at that and say, okay, just bear that in mind as you go. It may be for some of us that we've been in a bit of a rut for many years in the way we approach our work life, and it isn't actually a place where we can say, good, got it, I'm going to step into that next week. It may take some time. I spoke about breakthrough before. Maybe this is a bit of a breakthrough understanding for some of us here. Maybe we understand this but haven't been able to apply it. Please don't be discouraged if in the application of this passage it takes some time to sort of click into it and say, this is how I should be. Because maybe there's some glasses if you're an employer. If you employ people or direct other people that you've got to take off. Because actually, if you're honest, if you look at the person with sincerity, you look and you say, And I look at it honestly, as it were, and we say, I'm not sure that I've been recompensing and rewarding that person on merit of what they do. I just like the look of them or the way they make me feel. And I'm not necessarily talking about an opposite sex attraction. It may be any number of things. Maybe for some of us, we have to be honest that while the whole body is moving in a direction that looks like we're doing what we should be, the heart isn't really in it. The bit in the middle is not really ticking in the way that we should be as if we're working for God. And also working backwards through the passage, maybe we've got to say there's far too many layers going on here in what I do. So if your boss was to look at you sideways, would he see these layers? Or the person who directs what we do, or would they break through and still see, unfortunately this is finger jointed, so it's not quite the illustration I might like that's supposed to be, and it is the one type of wood. Would they see, no matter how far they go through, what's going on for you in a workplace situation is sincere and all the way through? This is not some sort of setup where Paul was in conjunction with colleagues or in conjunction with employers and said, how can we get more work out of these people? I know, or spiritualize or put into this passage. This passage in Colossians, which we're going to look at in the next few weeks as we move on through, is talking about the way we have relationship one with another in what we do outside often of a ministry situation. I believe that many of us, and I have to catch myself a number of times when I consider I've got this sacred, secular divide going on for me. Even as a pastor, I've got times when I'm not at work and not at any situation that seems to be a Christian context, and I'll have time out of my Christian life when the things that I do, I'm not doing with sincerity. They're not being done heartily. They're certainly not being done without any bias with what I'm seeing. So this is a challenge and a journey, I believe, for a number of us today. And what I would encourage in our life groups and small groups through the week, maybe there's something out of this that you need to get someone aside and say, hey, could you pray for me about how that might be? We're going to have opportunity, of course, at the end of the service for that. And I know sometimes when we do that, there's the prayer room in there if you'd rather pray in there, because if we respond, we're thinking, oh, people are going to think I'm a crap worker, or I'm not studying as well as I should, etc. Now, I know there's grace in this place. There is considerable grace here, and we wouldn't think that necessarily. But sometimes that may be the thing that stops us having that level of accountability with something else. So whether it's up here or in the prayer room or through the week, I would encourage you, if there's something in this message, just as we close with the last song would be great, thanks. If there's something in this message today that you know that maybe there's a response needs to be made about the way we approach that which others direct us to do, I'd just like to close in prayer, and then we'll lead from here. Father God, thank you for the way that you speak to us about what it is that we do when others direct us. Help us to do it sincerely. Help us to do it heartily. And help us to do it with no partiality. And understanding those principles and the way that we are to be in relationship with those that direct our time, we will find a release and an uplifting as we do that. As well being the best worker that you have put us to be in that place. Father, show us if maybe we're not in the place that you would want us to be through a desiring to apply these things and finding that we continually cannot. Help us find that person we can be accountable to, a mentor, someone who can work through us in this journey as we are to be in the place that you have gifted and placed us. Because if often said round here, if we're not doing it, no one else will do our job as well as we will. Father, again, we thank you for your word and all that you're saying to us. Amen. Sorry, guys, a couple of helpers, if they wouldn't mind just... Actually, no, leave it. That's fine. That's fine. Sorry, we'll leave it. We'll leave it till later. Yeah, thanks. That's fine. We'll leave it.
As Tony said, if you'd like prayer for anything...